Go. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm thrilled. I went out and bought a new pen the other day. Oh, you guys, gee. I get thrills out of the simplest little things sometimes. Going out and getting a new pen. And I wanted one that would, you know, because mine went dry on me. And so I wanted one that would clip into this leather thing I've got that I keep all my notes in. And I got one with a clip. I can't get it back in once I get it out. So now I'm like, man, that's us. Anyway, it's just me. I enjoy getting a new pen because it makes the writing easier. So James chapter 1, this is a message entitled today, Pattern Living. Now, on Wednesday night, if you were here, I ministered a message called Pattern Living. And this is part two of that message, so we're going to review quickly. I didn't intend on that becoming a series, and that's how the Spirit of God led. So we'll have to put part one online. But maybe I can do enough of a review here that maybe we can forego that. But James chapter 1, and this will be a, I don't know how long of a series. We just finished the one on no shame. Everybody in here walking with new boldness. You should have boldness in the Word, in the things of God. You should be bold, more bold. As the old saying goes, the devil to scold. So get after scolding him. Amen. Take authority over him. Walk the walk of the Word. Let the boldness of the Lord minister to you. James chapter 1, and this will be our foundation in these messages. James, verse 1, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now notice it says, when you fall. You see that? When you fall. Not if you fall, when you fall. Now wait a minute, Pastor Dan, I thought we were a Word of Faith church. Yes, we are. But the fact of the matter is, it's not if. It's when.
I'm a man of faith.
Yeah, I know. And so was Paul. And so was James. And so was Peter. And every one of them fell into some kind of diverse temptation. A lot of times people think, well, it's God that's tempting. But God's not the one who tempts you. Don't ever say that God's the one behind the temptation. It's not the Lord bringing a temptation. Verse 13 confirms that. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Don't ever, ever say God's the one taking me through this or putting me through this temptation. He'll take you through a temptation and test and a trial, but he's not the one who's initiating it nor trying to teach you something by bringing bad stuff into your life. That is such an old religious mindset that has no bearing in the Word of God. And people default to that. Well, I guess God's just testing me. Are you reading your Bible? And if you're reading your Bible, are you reading it accurately and recognizing the character of the Lord, that he's not trying to do something in your life to hurt you? You know, when a person has a test, it's because they don't know the answer that they get upset about things. If you end up in the middle of a test, it's not God who's conducting the test. Let no man say when he is tempted. It says in the Greek, tempted, tested, or tried. That I'm tempted, tested, or tried of God. Stop it. Don't say that. Don't put things out there for others to read that say God's testing me. He's not. He's not the tester, the tempter, nor the trier. There's one who comes to do just that, and we're going to talk about that today in just a moment, and go into that a little bit more deeply. Look at verse 3, knowing this. Now, this knowing this is going to make it where you can count the thing joy when you're going through it, if you know this. That the trying of your faith puts patience to work. And he goes on, he says, but let patience have her perfect work. Now, patience is not just you putting up with something and you just enduring until the end. And I just don't know what we're going to do. And I have to put up with all this stuff going on in my life. That's not what patience is. Biblical patience is cheerful endurance, remaining consistently constant the whole time on the Word of God. If you know that your cheerful endurance will, and you're going to continue to serve the Lord, listen to Him, know that when this trying of your faith occurs, this cheerful endurance comes into play, and you're gonna get through this thing, hearing from the Lord how He's going to, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, make a way of escape for you. See, God's not like sitting up above looking at His kids and, here, I'll stick them into this situation. And they're in a maze and watch this. He's going to hit his head right on that wall. Just watch him. Like a dumb little mouse in a maze. Like God's just toying with you. Let's see if you can figure this one out. Bam, I'll put a stop right there. Oh, yeah, they think they got it going. Boom, some sickness. God's not the one who brings sickness. God's not the one who's tempting you, testing you, trying you. He's not the one who puts you in a situation like that. There's one who's trying to get you off your faith, right? That's the one who's doing that. So don't you dare slap your mouth yourself if you come along with the excuse, I guess God is just tempting me. Ow. I guess God is just testing me somehow. Do it again. Shut your mouth. Stop it. Don't let that religious garbage come out of your mouth. Amen. That's religious bunk, as they say. Bunk is just a word for bunch of junk. See, because if you think God is testing you, God is tempting you, God is trying you somehow, you take a position of non-resistance. It's God. God's doing this to me. Even though it contradicts His Word and what He said in the Word that He would do. And well, God put this sickness on me to teach me something. You ever hear that? Who's heard that? God doesn't put sickness on people. Jesus bore your sickness. God doesn't put temptations, tests, and trials in your pathway. The Bible says in John 14, verse 26, He will lead you by the Holy Spirit, you see. He'll bring to your remembrance the things that you have need of. Yeah, but Pastor, well, wait a minute. I'm not saying that your eyes might not pop wide open when a temptation, test, or trial hits your life. But just don't accuse God. He's not the tempter. Just the word tempt. Yeah, but Genesis 22 verse 1 said, and God did tempt Abraham. You know what the word tempt in Hebrew means there? It means to prove. And it did not mean to dangle some kind of bait in front of him to see which way he'd go. That is not at all what that meant. Sometimes the King James uses language that, words that have a negative connotation to them. And it's not at all what the original said. Look at verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now that's what I want to focus on right there. You can come to a place in your life that you are walking in this perfect and entire, wanting nothing lifestyle. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? It is available to you. That you may be, whoa, you see that? That you may be perfect and entire. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be, or that you will arrive at this point in your life where you don't want anything. Now, wait a minute. Do you mean I can actually come to that point where I don't want things? Don't you remember what Psalm 23 said? Lord is my shepherd. I shall not except for. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. You can get to the place where you're not even going to want things. Now, the Bible said that He would supply all your needs. He'll take care of your needs. He's going to take care of you. But you can, this is that place where your personal needs in life are all being met. And everything's being met in such abundance that you become somebody that God can use to help other people. If you are so overridden in your life with these problems, these wants, all these things that you can never obtain, I'll just say this, you'll never get higher in your walk with the Lord than the level of your own need. What's your need today? Or is it a want? And sometimes you need to differentiate between the two, because is this really something I need, or is it just greed? Then, and God will sometimes just pour stuff out on you, just bless you, just because. Have you ever gotten your children something they didn't really need? Anybody? Am I the only one? You did, Frank. Well, I'm glad to see that. Praise God. Just because you love them. Well, what's this for? I love you. I just wanted to bless you. What'd you do that for? Because I love you, ding-a-ling. You keep asking, I'm going to... No, of course not. But you do things for your kids just because you love them. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If you have all these needs and all these problems going on and you're not walking in this perfect and entire, you're not going to be a lot of help to other people. You'll not be able to pray above the level of your own personal need. So it's important that you get those needs met and become a channel for the blessings of God to other people where your finances are concerned. Wouldn't that be nice to be able to give to people and just do things for people? Y'all have an attitude like that? If you have an attitude like that, God will use you, and eventually that's where you'll walk. That you could be perfect and entire, but you have to let this constancy, this cheerful endurance, play out in your life. Let patience have its perfect work. So, why does God want you to be in this position of wanting nothing? Well, first off, like I said, He's your Father and He loves you. And, you know, I don't really need an excuse to give something to my son. Now, there is a place of giving too much. Austin, we don't want to do that. You know, we don't want to give you too much. Been a few times I thought maybe I've given them too much, you know. But I don't really need an excuse to give him something. If I want to give him and bless him, I do it just because I love him. Not bragging on myself. I'll just tell you, the other day I washed my car. It was last week, wasn't it, Austin? I mean, I wash the car every week. But last week, and his truck was sitting there. And I had the power washer out on the driveway. And I had just finished mine, pulled it in the garage, and I look at his. It's hot. I don't really, but I love him. And he had been out here working, and I thought, well, I'll just do it quick. So I washed his car quick, his truck quick. I didn't need an excuse to do it. I just did it because I loved him. You ever do something for somebody just because you love them and you just want to bless them? You're not waiting for the pat on the back. You're not waiting for the, oh, wow, aren't you a super dad? Aren't you a great person? No, it's just you just love them. And I didn't even tell him I did it. He comes back a little while later and goes, you know, sometimes with that truck, it's a little hard to tell. But he said, did you wash my truck? I noticed some water around the. I said, yeah, I did. And, well, thanks. You know, whatever. Praise God. So God loves you. He's your Father. He loves you. The second reason, if you and I are in this place of our needs being met, then we can focus on the needs of the world around us. And that's a good reason to be in a place where you want nothing. Amen? Do y'all believe it's possible to get to that place in your life where you can be perfect and entire wanting nothing? Do you believe that? Some people are going, I don't know, man, there's always something else I could want. Well, now we're not. Now we're talking greed, probably. But you have your needs all met. You get to the place where you don't. I don't really need anything. I don't really want anything. That's what happens in a lot of times. You know, you get some money and you go, I can just go buy what I want to go buy. And then you walk in the store and you're looking around. I don't really need that. I don't really need that. I don't really even want that. I've done that so many times, walked in and walked back out with the money in my pocket. Just like, I didn't really need anything. And I know we talk about, as people get older, they don't need stuff. So I guess I'm falling in that category. Anyway, so praise God. This wanting nothing is a success that people in the world are pressing after. They think that the more money that you have, the more dollars you have, that's the more successful that you are. They think that the more money that you have, the more that labels you as a success in this world. Or if you have a really nice home or you have the perfect wife, I don't think that person exists. I mean, she's close now, okay? But nobody's perfect. Or the perfect husband. I mean, you got really close, but, you know, it's just not there. Nobody's perfect. You know, you think, oh, that'd be so great. Man, that person just wakes up talking the word, living the word. No, they wake up with bad breath just like you do. They wake up and their hair's all over the place just like you. And so you get that, and it's really stupidity to get the idea that some people just float through life and never have problems that they have to confront and deal with and attitudes that try to surface that aren't godly. You better wake up and smell the roses. Amen. And it won't be the breath of that person in the morning either. Amen. So getting to this place of wanting nothing, we said, is right here, couched in the middle of a discourse concerning adversity. And that's verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And like I said, it's when, not if. You hear me? Temptations is a Greek word, perasmos, and it means a putting to proof by the experience of adversity. Now, that doesn't mean that God is mad at you. It doesn't mean for one moment that he had something to do with it. It's just the fact that you're in this earth and there's a devil in this earth and he has demons and they go around trying to test, tempt, and try people. Period. If you're a believer, you're going to be tempted, tested, or tried. God has nothing to do with it. The enemy is trying to get you off your faith. God has a perfect pattern for you to walk in this world, in this life. And in this series, we're going to talk about the different patterns that exist. The other night, and if you miss Wednesday night, I would say shame on you, but we just did a no shame series, so I can't say that. You missed, you're missing half the sermons in this church. Let that sink in for a minute. You think I tell you everything I know on Sundays? Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, sure. Make time. It's too vital of a time in this life. Make time. Not one amen, but a whole lot of conviction. So you see, your faith is going to determine how you will live your life. It will be the primary determiner. You remember Jesus telling two blind men in Matthew 9, verse 29, by your faith be it done unto you. You remember that? You see that phrase in the Word of God, according to your faith be it done unto you. Let me say this, that there for you and I, our lifestyle is to live and walk by faith. We just looked at Scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, that the just shall live by faith. Come on, you're supposed to be living by faith. And guess what? The only way the enemy can manipulate your destiny is to get you off your faith. Because if you are living your life by faith, according to your faith be it done unto it, is going to, God's destiny for your life will come to pass. So now you see why he wants to get you off of your faith, tempt you, test you, try you. And the enemy will use people that don't even know what they're doing to generate circumstances that will contribute to you becoming disgusted and turning away. He's trying to, listen, he's trying to get you off your faith. If he can get you off your faith, this patience, that cheerful endurance, you let that fly, you let it go, and you quit, cave in, and give up. Your destiny is not in God's hands. It's now in the enemy's hands. But I don't like that thought. He can manipulate your destiny if he can get you off your faith. Because you're supposed to be living by faith. And if he gets you off of faith, now what are you living by? The old seat of the pants? Huh? The old wit that you have? You're not smart enough to get through this life without God. Man, I tell you, that's a serious, serious thing. When we start looking at this, we want to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, get to that place where all the wrong desires are gone and only our desires that are lining up with, like I said before, Psalm 37, verse 4, that delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, Pastor Dan, it just seems like I start to really want to serve the Lord and then these old desires keep cropping up. You can get to the place where that stuff doesn't bother you anymore. But I'm serious about this. The enemy comes with these lies. And nobody can change your approach to the Word of God but you. I cannot make you more determined. I cannot make you more dedicated. I can suggest it. I can say, here, you know, you ought to be doing this. This is a good thing to do. Time to tighten the bootstraps. Time to gird your loins. Time to get up and be more and more dedicated than ever before. There is an exceeding greatness of his power that's available to those of us that believe. It's Ephesians 1, verse 19. The exceeding greatness of his power. That's what he wants happening in you and I and through you and I. But I'm telling you, the enemy, if he can get you off your faith, he can manipulate your destiny. Now you stop for right. Just stop right now and think about that. I'm going down the road. I'm believing God. I'm loving the Lord. Hallelujah. He's showing me things. And here comes some adversity. It's not deserved. Yeah, I didn't really have anything to do with it. But I'm caught up in the middle of it. And now I'm having to exercise this constancy and cheerful endurance. But man, I want to hurt somebody. Because they did me wrong. Or this situation over here. Whatever it is, sickness comes into your life. Whatever it is. I mean, God's not the one behind it. Who's behind it? The one who does the tempting, testing, and trying. So why is he doing this? He wants to get you off your faith. If he can get you off your faith and turn you into just another number who calls himself a Christian, that's where it ends. Your destiny now is in the hands of the enemy and you don't want it there. Because now you're not walking by faith. Now you are walking by feelings. Now you are walking by, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Oh. Hold it. If you know that the trying of your faith, and see, he's coming against your faith. That's what he's coming against, your faith. Puts patience to work, this cheerful endurance, this constancy, this consistency. This repetitious behavior of the word in your life, if it puts that into, you know, you let that kick in when adversity strikes. Man, you're going to hear from God. Then that thing we've been talking about for how long out of John 2, where Jesus' mother said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That comes fully into play. If he tells you to do something, do it. But if you're not resisting the enemy like you should, you're not sticking in the word, you're not feeding your faith, you're not being consistent in the things of God, you're wide open to that trouble. Well, amen anyway. So make sure that your faith is grounded in the word. Faith sets the direction of your life, but also releases the power of God that will carry you through any challenge to that faith. I'll say it again. Faith sets the direction of your life. You're supposed to be living and walking by faith. But it also releases the power of God that will carry you through any challenge to that faith. So make sure your faith is grounded in the word. The devil is the tempter. I've said that already. I'll say it again. He's the one. A lot of the church thinks it's God. God did this for some reason. Bless his holy name, you know. Well, you ought to bless his holy name, but you also need to know something about his character. He's not trying to use the things of the devil to teach you anything. Who's the teacher of the church? The Holy Spirit, John 14, verse 26. He'll bring to your remembrance. He'll teach you the things you need to know. Says nothing about sickness and disease. Says nothing about temptations, tests, and trials. Those are designed by the enemy to pull you off of your faith and get you all concerned about what's going on so that you can't hear from God anymore. Because you get all wrapped up in how bad it is. Oh my goodness. Why do you suppose things come? It's not God. People have thought, well, that's God's method. No, it's not. It's the devil's method. And he's the one who's after you. But you have authority over him. You need to use it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, he's going to attack your faith in order to stop you from receiving from the Lord. When pressure is put on your faith, the devil will generate circumstances that contradict your faith. Well, we're believing this. You know, for example, you start tithing. You see in the word, we talked about tithing before. You see in the word that, you know, you're supposed to bring your tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven. Hebrews 7 verse 8 said that here men that die receive tithes. There he receives them. So when you give, you're really not even giving to the church. You're giving to the Lord. Wow. Think about that. When people say, not going to do it. And again, I didn't say you had to do it here. Just, no. The Lord wants to multiply your seed sown, but when you're putting little bits and pieces out here and there and you're not doing what the Lord tells you to do, what does he have to work with? Every success story, in fact, a brother in the Lord was telling me the other day about John D. Rockefeller. How many of y'all know that boy had a little bit of money? Amen? Do you know he was a tither? Do you know that even after he was and reached billionaire status, get this, richest guy in the world at that. They didn't even know what to call him because billionaire was unknown. Huh? Billionaire status. He would go and clean the church. You'd see him end up at the church mowing the yard. A billionaire, he could have bought the building, could have bought the sod farm to sod the thing and then paid people to take. He could have paid for all of it. But he said, it makes me feel normal. How many of y'all want to feel normal? Not me. You better. Well, then sign up to clean the church or help mow the yard. What? What? Help? I don't have time. That's a lie, too. But anyway, you do. Hey, here we go. We're getting a lot of amens today, aren't we, Pastor Dan? Yeah. Here's something I want to just touch on quickly. He said, prove me now herewith in Malachi 3, verse 10. Prove me now, prove me now herewith. If I'll not open you the windows of heaven. So you start out tithing. You catch that revelation of where you start out tithing, start giving, and adversity hits. The washer breaks down. Something happens with the car. Something's going on, you know. You're walking down the street and your shoe blows out. Oh, what am I going to do? You ever have a shoe? Come on. Where's Pastor John? He's not in here. He was up here one Sunday. Y'all didn't know it. But a shoe blew out in the middle of the service. I say blew out. It came undone. The stitching for the sole came undone. And he could go, whack, whack, whack. It looked like somebody talking. You know. He kind of kept his foot down on the carpet, you know. He's just kind of sliding, you know. Because his shoe blew out, you know. You ever have one of those, what are they, the Nike Air, you know, the different shoes that have air in them when they blow? You know, you end up with a flat. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, you don't want a flat, do you? Amen? You guys are way too sleepy today. Come on, wake up. I'm listening, yeah. Praise God, you can't ask right now, but praise God for that. Quickly, here we go. So the enemy starts attacking your situation, and suddenly this breaks down, that breaks down, this happens, that happens, this happens. And so what does the enemy say? See? Tithing doesn't work. You're stupid to do it. You could use that money to pay the bill on the washing machine. You could use the money to do this. And that's the way a lot of people think. Don't raise your hand and admit to it, but a lot of people think like that, even people in this church. I could have used it for that. You just don't understand. You got easy time. No, I don't. No, I don't. The more money you make, the more your tithe is. Do you realize that? And so what happens? Here's the adversity. Here's the trouble. And you go, I knew that it didn't work. Tithing works if you stay after it. If you have, how many of y'all know what momentum is? And I mentioned it in the prayer line before, momentum. When you get momentum going, I tell you, if you take off running from up here at Jim's business, now of course there's a hill, but that distance away and ran through here, yeah, trip. You couldn't stop like this, could you? I mean, you do your best. You know, you run, slide. But, you know, and running really fast. Momentum carries you. But a lot of Christians have done this. They've started out running, and they take off. And something happens, and they stop. Then they start out again, and then they stop. And then they start again. And they stop. And every time they stop, the momentum stops. Keep going. Don't let the enemy get you off your faith. You win if you don't quit. You win if you don't quit. Couple of scriptures quickly, and then we'll pick it up next week. Acts 7, verse 44, there was a pattern for the tabernacle given in the wilderness. Romans 6, verse 17, there's a pattern of teaching that will set you free from the captivity of sin. Did you know that? Well, I guess you all knew that. You didn't know that. Romans 6, verse 17, there's a pattern of teaching that will set you free from the captivity of sin. It calls it a form of doctrine in the King James, but that literally translates a pattern of warning through teaching. Not just any teaching is going to do the work. You need to hear the right teaching. Romans 12, verse 2, there's a pattern of thought that will either cause you to conform to the world or to the word. Which is it going to be? The word or the world? There are patterns. Our life is a series of patterns that we walk. There is a perfect pattern for you and I to walk in. That's what I'm going to leave you with today. There is a perfect pattern for you and I to walk in as believers. There's a pattern. And there are elements to the pattern. The first element, and we'll look at it next week, is hearing the word. That's the first element. Then there'll be those elements will apply into different areas of your life. Your vocation, your parenting, where your finances are concerned, where your physical safety is concerned, where your health is concerned. These elements will come into play. And are you going to stick with the pattern? The other night I used the illustration of a receiver in football. If he, again, I was going to say or she, but she doesn't apply in football anyway. I guess it could. And you ladies like to play football?
Yes.
Yeah. Get you out there with the helmet on. Stand to your feet. If a receiver breaks off the pattern, the quarterback knows what the pattern is supposed to be, and the receiver breaks off it, guess what happens? If he throws it where that receiver is supposed to be, it's either going to be incomplete or intercepted, right? The guy's supposed to do a square out, and he goes out, but doesn't up. The ball goes over here, and he's over here looking for it. You've seen it. You've seen it happen. A receiver breaks off of the route. Now, if he and the quarterback have good communication, and he said, if this happens, I'm going to go left instead of right. Well, fine. The quarterback sees it and reads it. That can happen. But that's not the rule. That is the exception. When a receiver breaks off a pattern, it's normally trouble. Or if the defense blows the coverage and they thought so-and-so was going to cover and drop back and he went forward and this guy stayed where he is and the receiver gets behind him, now guess what happens? It's a big cheer for the team that has the ball because they're going to score a touchdown. It'll be a throw over the top of the defense. Well, breaking off the pattern can be catastrophic for you. You don't want to break off the pattern. Once you have the pattern and you know the pattern, then you need to stick to the pattern. Patterns are sequences of events that occur in our life over and over and over and over again. Who has a routine in their life in here? When you get up in the morning, you have a routine, right? When you, like this morning, tomorrow, you'll have a routine. You don't go, well, you know, I'm supposed to be at work at 8, 7, or whatever it is. I don't feel like going today. What drives you to go to work? Don't say your car. What drives you to go to work? You need to be paid, right? Yeah. Responsibility? Sure. Yeah. So think about that tomorrow morning. And don't decide tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock whether you're going to be at work at 8. You decide I'm going to bed early enough tonight so I can get up in the morning. And I do this. First time spent with the Lord, amen. And then you eat something, you go, and you conduct your day. And you do it every day. And the ones that do it successfully and continue at it end up being blessed. Those that, one day I'm going to work, next day I'm not going to go. I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like it. You get there, oh man, I'm sick. Oh. It doesn't work. Consistency breeds success. Well, consistency in the Word does the very same thing. But in the pattern that we're going to discover patterns that we need to follow. And these elements are in those patterns. We're going to look at that over the next few weeks. Not just few, probably quite a few actually. So, praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. Bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that we will discover the right patterns. We will, in Jesus' name. We will, recognize the attacks of adversity, that they're simply designed to get me off my faith so he can try to manipulate my destiny. No, nobody's going to manipulate my destiny. My destiny is living in faith, walking after the things of God, and God has a destiny for me. Amen. And that's what I will fulfill. And I will reach that point of being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So I can be a blessing to other people. In Jesus' name. Now, come on, keep the momentum. Keep the momentum in your life. Don't drop off. Well, tomorrow's Monday. I don't have to do anything. You know, don't have to go to church or anything. I don't have to read the word. No. Every day. Include Jesus in your routine. Come on. That shouldn't have to even be said, should it? Amen. All right. Yeah, quickly, please.
When our home burned down, totally, my son-in-law, Brett, came to me one day and he said, "Mother-in-law, it's time you go through this and determine the outcome." And I said, "I agree with that. Our insurance was wonderful. Everything turned out well. We got to build a house over on the hill where I wanted it to be anyway." But I have a photograph. One day I was looking out of the home that we were living in at that time and looking across where they were building our house, and there was a complete arc rainbow that was a lot even thicker than normal, and the end of it was right over our house that was being built.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Adversity comes, how you deal with it. You know, the world says it, well, if life serves you up lemons, make some lemonade. Yeah, I'll take the pie, too. That'd be fine, sure. Anyway, yeah, praise God. Frank, praise report. This week,